What a podcast.
Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
I'm going to make some celery chili. Is that a thing? Instead of chunks of meat, you got chunks of celery in there.
Ooh. Chili con celery. See, that's improv right there is what that is. This is 721, right?
Yep.
That's fucking weird sound. Listen to that.
Oh, that is weird.
This is a request for Hans.
I'm coughing.
That was a riddle.
Yep.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Monday edition. This guy's going to sing, so I'm going to turn him down a little bit. This is Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. What's happening?
What is going on?
It's episode 721.
How was your weekend?
It was all right. That weird intro, I want to clarify. It's the new sleep song called The Clarity. Hans turned me on to it. I actually saw an advertisement for it on the internet, but he said, hey, did you see it?
No, I saw an advertisement for it on Adult Swim.
For sleep?
For sleep?
Yep. I haven't seen it. Well, it's actually an ad for Shazam. You know that app?
Yeah, where you...
There's an app for it.
You hear a song and you...
Yeah, where you can hear artists such as Sleep, Diarrhea Child or something. It's a diarrhea something band. Diarrhea Poncho.
Wow, dude.
It's something weird. It's diarrhea in their name.
Huh. And they're on... They get... Well, you know, Adult
Sleep
Swim.
Sleep is just the first one they mention. Or you can hear artists such as Sleep,
I've heard
Rectum.
Diarrhea Rectum.
Diarrectum.
Is that really it? Or are you just making up stuff?
It says diarrhea. It's something diarrhea.
Huh.
It's diarrhea something.
Well, well, well.
The Diarrhea Clown Rodeo.
I also heard an ad a year or so ago on Adult Swim that said, featuring Witch Mountain.
Ah, wow.
Yeah, because they're on an Adult Swim compilation with bands like Mastodon and Witch Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And, now, those guys are, like, getting up there. But anyway, new Sleep going on in the background. This song's all about weed, believe it or not.
Yeah. Diarrhea Planet.
Oh, okay. That's where I was just a couple days
ago. That's family
friendly. This is a six-piece rock and roll band from Nashville, Tennessee. Their sounds have often been described as the Ramones holding a...
A baby
fire. It's loading really quick. But they've been just... They've been described
really
as
quick.
The Ramones holding Van Halen hostage with an arsenal of fireworks and explosives. Diarrhea Planet's four guitarists provide enough riffs to make Jack Black squeal like a schoolgirl, while lead singer Hoden delivers enough hooks to straighten the curl out of Justin Timberlake's hair.
Whoa.
It sounds like they wrote that themselves, about themselves.
And whoever wrote that is a writer.
Yep.
They're not fucking around is what they're not doing.
They have opened up for such acts as Waves. You ever heard of them?
Nope.
They opened up for them.
Oh.
Fucked Up. You ever heard of them?
Nope.
They opened up for them.
Well, I've heard you're not as... The people you've opened up for doesn't make you any better.
Yeah. Andrew Jackson Jihad.
Oh, I've heard of them. Just kidding.
The Coat Hangers.
The Co... Tangers.
They have also, like any good punk band, played a variety of basements.
All right, Hans, check out Diarrhea Planet.
Would you say you're not a punk band unless you've played in a basement? That's kind of maybe a prerequisite for a punk band, isn't it?
I guess. What if you aren't ever in the opportunity? What, do you have to seek out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe you got to find a basement.
Hey, before we get any further, let's say we got a guest in the studio.
We got a guest.
Today. Yes. It's been a long time since we've had a guest.
Uh-huh.
And we got Matt Phil in the studio
back
today.
In the Izzy. Wow.
That's right.
What's up,
very
man?
Hard to book.
It is.
Very hard to book.
Yeah.
Hard to get a hold of.
He's like an important person.
Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get a book.
It took us like 5 months. We had to do a 5 month in advance booking with him, and then he canceled because he had something else going on. Then 6 months later, here he is.
Yep. Yep. I was going to ask you, when the last time you were in a bookstore was, but it was probably actually recently, huh?
It was, yeah. A couple weeks ago.
When was I in a bookstore? It's been years.
I was thinking about this the other day. Albany doesn't have a bookstore.
No. Yeah, they do.
I was actually looking for a new book.
That's a library, I guess.
They don't have a new bookstore, but they got that one.
Yeah, Browser's Books, yeah.
Yeah, that one that's kind of creepy.
I've never been in there in my life.
I have. I've been in there a few times. It's just weird because it's one person.
Is that by the public market, the Second Street?
Like the skate park.
No, you're thinking of the old book bin.
Oh, the book bin, yeah.
Yeah. This one is on the main road over there, like across from Wendy's.
Oh. Yep, yep.
Okay.
The old First Round used to be in there, didn't it? Or was that Pops?
Pops, I believe. I don't know. I have no idea.
I think it was the old First Round. But they just got piles of books in there just because...
Is it like the Ross Dress for Less of... bookstores, just everything's just scattered everywhere. There's like books lying on the floor.
Where there's old books and stuff smell musty. They got a definite smell.
Yeah, I've noticed that everything that's old kind of smells like my grandma's attic.
Mm-hmm. His grandma's attic, is that a euphemism for her vagina?
I hope not, because I've been up in that before. I've been up in grandma's attic, so I'm really hoping that it's not, because that'd be gross. And now it belongs to my stepmom, so I'm up in my stepmom's attic, and it smells musty in there. But yeah, speaking of musty smells, I was kind of stoked at this new sleep song. It's almost 10 minutes long, and it's all about weed. They're talking about weed fields and the Sensimillion God and the backpatch. They're all stoned thereafter. And his dealer is the Refuge.
Did you hear about that one guy up in Washington? He owns that store of weed. Right? Because it's legal up there.
I've heard of more than one guy, but yeah.
No, but this guy, he say he shut it down.
Well, a lot of them were running out of weed. I saw it was like the old gas stations in the 70s during the gas crunch, and it would say, no weed, no weed. Mm-hmm. But it was a weed store, and they're still open. And they're like, why are you guys open? You got no weed. Well, you can buy some other stuff, just the few things that we have left. But
this guy was complaining on... news that growers were strong-arming them to pay exuberant prices for subpar pot.
He said
$6,000 a pound, and it wasn't really that good. He says he doesn't want to sell subpar pot to his customers when he has to pay $6,000 a pound.
Exactly.
And then you got to, you know, tack on 25% tax.
The last I saw was like $480 for an ounce of that blackberry kush. Mm. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. I want weed to be legal, and I don't care. I hope no cops are listening, because why would they be? But anyway, I
could add to this real quick. I was on some podcast the other day, and they're talking about Colorado, and they said that you could buy weed brownies at Coors Field, where the Colorado Rockies play.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you can. I tried to like call them out on it.
Right.
There's no way that seems right.
Well, they sell beer.
Right.
So it'd be the same.
I guess it is fully legal, but that just seems weird. And they're talking about how that would be the best way to watch a baseball game.
For sure. It's boring.
No, because then you just end up wandering around the stadium.
You're like, whoa. Look, he hit. There's a bird.
Because the stadium is always a surreal experience.
Wouldn't it not hit until the game's almost over?
Then you'd have to call an ambulance because you eat two because you didn't feel the first one, and you're like, oh, man, I'm not feeling this. I better eat another one. Oh, shit, I'm feeling it. Call the ambulance. There's been so many people that like, eat a treat and, like, freak out. Like, it's too much for them, and I can't get out. I can't
get it. Maybe you haven't eaten enough for your receptors.
Dude, I've tried, though. I've eaten more than I should, and everybody's like, just eat half, and I'll say, okay, I'll have six, and then...
Dude, I want to get one of those salt guns. Have you seen those? The bug of salt?
Oh, we've talked about them last summer.
Yeah, it's that one fucking gun, and it's like
you
a super
flies.
Soaker, but it shoots table salt.
Oh, okay.
And it kills flies.
And it kills flies, and it's safe to shoot onto your food.
Okay, well, all right, but back to the weed thing. Brownsville's trying to get a dispensary there. They have been for like a year or more.
It could get business because all the other conservative towns, such as Lebanon and those kind of towns, they want to nix it before it even gets a chance to get going.
What they did is they created a moratorium, and that is a temporary prohibition of activity until they find out how it's going to work out in other small town areas. So it was a 1-year moratorium. So these people spent like $12,000 to $15,000 on all the the things that they have to do to get their fucking store, and now they've enacted an indefinite moratorium.
Mm-hmm.
Just pretty much forever, because the city council voted, and they just don't want, they don't think that that type of business represents what Brownsville.
But if you look at in Albany, when they said no poker games, there's Millersburg that's not even really out of the city limits, and they have it so you can go 10 seconds literally outside of Albany to go and gamble. And why turn down that money? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, what's the problem with
poker?
We
don't want that money.
Well, it's all about the principle.
I know. Then you drive around on roads that are all shitty.
Yeah, yeah. It goes back to, like, even when I was talking last week about the country fair, where they're making a shutdown amplified music that's not even louder than them singing with an acoustic guitar, but it's just because that's what the rule says, amplified music. But so I think these people have wasted all their money. They're not going to be able to open their dispensary. The lady has an eBay store in there now, which is still weird to me. Ever since
that, you could make enough money to do that.
Ever since 40-year-old virgin, I never understood and never thought about that was a thing, that you could have an eBay store where what, you bid on it and then you come to the store and pick it up, or can I?
No, I would imagine if you wanted something and you did not have an eBay account, or some people don't like to put their stuff on there, so you could go there and go, this is what I want, and you could probably go through with them on the pictures.
Oh, and they get it on eBay for you.
Yeah, or you take your stuff in there and then you get like 10 cents for all your old records because of the fees and then the time you pay them to put it in there and then shipping, and you get 10 cents.
Right on.
10 cents. Hey, I was going to mention that's one of my favorite Metallica songs, too, is Welcome Home Moratorium.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of Metallica when I was trying to get across town. I was trying to hit the lights because it was like the green one, and if I go the right speed, you can hit all the green lights.
Yeah. And then you got a moratorium, which is not to be confused with a Maury Povichum.
Which is, he's not the father. Maury Povichism.
Yep.
Oh, man.
They should release some old seasons of Maury Povich on DVD.
They should just have them on Netflix.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Every episode of Maury on Netflix. You could just binge watch it every day.
Dude, it'd be like 1,200 episodes and you're just like powering through them.
I'd do it.
I don't know if I could. Lately, I've still been doing The Sopranos.
How many in a row could you watch?
Half, maybe.
I fall asleep when I try to binge watch stuff.
I saw at somebody's house one time a Judge Judy DVD, and I thought that was the weirdest thing ever. It had like 4 cases on
maybe
it. I'm like,
what
would you do? Just watch the same 4 cases over and over? I love that case. That twist, I need to get that DVD.
That twist at the end's weird, where she says, no, the dog did poop on the carpet,
though.
I know.
It is your responsibility. Like, oh, totally, man, my jaw dropped.
$3,800? Really? Okay, whatever. How could a rug cost $3,800? All right. Oh, we talked last week about Stand By Me. We had Stand By Me
Day
in Brownsville.
By me.
And it rained. It rained all day.
Me.
And it was a Wednesday. But they did have over 200 people sign into the guest book there at the headquarters of Stand By Me Day.
How many people entered the pie-eating contest?
I told you last week they didn't have a pie-eating contest.
How
but they
not?
Did talk to Lardass via Skype. He was supposed to be there, and he fucking pussed out and Skyped in. And check this out. It gets worse.
Wait, that's Jerry O'Connell,
I'm already
right?
Sold.
No.
I'm already sold.
No, it was some guy from Portland. It was his only part in the movie was during that story that he was telling about.
I know what you're talking about now.
Right. He was from Portland. He's now a stage actor in New York.
What would you have to Skype about like that? Can you tell us details about what happened during that scene?
Check out what I learned.
Let me spend 2 minutes telling you about that, and then I got nothing.
Well, what they did, you see, is they took blueberry pie filling and mix it with cottage cheese, and that's what the puke was, and then they just tape a hose up beside their face and get a side shot. And you could see, because it's terrible, like you can see it coming out from the top of their face on that one. And they said that some people actually threw up when people in the audience had like bags, they would like put it in their mouth and then just spit it out. And so that's basically what he talked about.
So,
and the castor oil that he chugged was actually just water mixed with a little bit of RC Cola.
Weird.
I guess to make it thicker and a little bit, just a tiny bit brown. But yeah, and so he was supposed to be there. He Skyped in.
Was this the first time that he had been a guest there at the festival or anything?
Yeah.
This seems like they would have tried before. Like that would have been a big pull, right?
Lardass? No, they would rather have like a one of the peons of Kiefer Sutherland's group.
Yeah.
Not to the two main ones, but one of the other ones that didn't have a speaking
part. One of his old entourage.
He called in, too. And then the camera operator for the trestle scene was supposed to Skype in, and he chickened out and sent in a pre-recorded video. So they're hoping to get someone.
Weak.
Yeah, and 2016 will be the 30-year anniversary.
They should try to get
Dreyfus.
That's going to fall on a Friday.
Can I throw out a suggestion? Maybe you can tell the people.
Oh, they
there.
Are listening right now.
Dude, try to get Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
She's not in it.
I know, but she's on 24.
Maybe she could get Kiefer to show up.
Yeah, maybe the two can show up. She could do a comedy there at the festival, the thing. Dude. And then Kiefer Sutherland can pull switchblades.
If Kiefer Sutherland went to Brownsville, that city would shut down.
It would
be the story of the century.
Well, if I think they should just have like a hologram of River Phoenix. Because how hard would that be? That's just like a
That'd be awesome.
Like, he would like skin it. Like,
you know, if there was a hologram of River Phoenix,
yeah,
a river could run through it.
Oh, it'd be like the Walking Dead, Walking Phoenix.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, they said that people came from as far as Japan and Seattle for Stand By Me Day.
What?
This lady said that she was the same age as those actors and that she watched it at that age and she just.
Dude, it's a great movie. I mean, if you watch, you watched it as a youngster, you're.
And she was so excited to get to go to the places where they recorded this, you know, filmed the scenes and stuff. So,
I'm surprised Will Wheaton hasn't been around.
Oh, he spent some time in Portland and some different places. Maybe he'll be the one that shows up for the 30th anniversary.
What about Corey Hart?
That's not the Corey.
Oh.
That's not even one of the two Corys.
That's the three Corys, though.
Well, he wears a sunglass at night. You think he's going to show up at...
They all wear their sunglasses at night. And then you see him on
the
drive-in.
The one dead one doesn't wear shit.
He's probably put shades on, though, in his casket. They probably said, put shades on him.
That reminds me of a riddle I heard earlier. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, I did. You asked me before we got... Maybe we were on here. I don't know. You said what I did this weekend. I like to cover that on a Monday. I had three comedy shows this weekend. It was pretty awesome.
Trifecta.
I didn't have one for a month in between the last
That's
two,
weird because one of them was at the Triangle, which has 3 points.
That was the first one of the trifecta.
All right. Where is your second point of the Triangle?
At the Bleepin' Funny Sam Bond's Garage, and I got a little bit in trouble.
Oh, I like that place.
I used the phrase anal sex, and that is... apparently bleepable because we got an email from the lady who puts it on, and it wasn't just me, a couple other people said dick and shit.
Alright, I'm gonna tell you right now, instead of anal sex, say butt humping. That's a funny word.
That is, but I don't think that that's she gave us a list of stuff we're not supposed to say specifically now. It's kind of PG-13, just not a lot of drug and sex talk, But then the third one was at a fundraiser for the Narcotics Anonymous thing. They were raising funds to do a scholarship.
Were they raising funds or were they drazing fun?
I don't know. It was a fundraiser.
All right.
So they might have been drazing fun. But we drazed up some fun there, and I had some people come in and tell some jokes, and they made enough money off of it to do one scholarship for someone who's graduating from the program, which was awesome, but unfortunately... They asked us not to joke about current recreational drug use, obviously. These people are in recovery.
Oh.
So when a couple of the guys got there, I was like, yeah, here's this. And they're like, you got a pen? Can't do that joke.
Oh, what if you had stories?
Can't do that joke. Oh, jokes from the past are acceptable. I almost got in trouble for talking about frying on acid when I was a teenager. But
what if you told your drug stories, right? But then at the end of every drug story, you said, but then it all turned really bad, and I never wanted to do it again.
And I didn't want to do my Jesus bashing jokes because a lot of those 12-step programs are based around Christianity.
Yeah.
But I did say I was a recovering Christian, just left at that, because that gets a little joke when I say I haven't prayed or read my Bible in over 5 years, and I get my chip tomorrow.
Really?
So this one lady is a recovery lady as well. She's Melody Dodd. She's been clean for 23 years. Nice. She just got her 23-year chip. But she made a special top 10 list that had something to do with home groups, which I don't even know what that is because I'm not part of the program. But it was like really personalized, and it was awesome. Everybody, the lady that put it on is Dana's friend, Sonia, my friend. You know Sonia from back in the day. They were all naysaying her.
All right.
Comedy show? Really? Come on. This isn't going to work. Well, it worked. Everybody loved it. Everybody, like, this was the most fun, attentive audience, polite, quiet, not talking during our set, laughing at everything, applause breaks. I wish I would have fucking recorded it because it sounded like everybody. I mean, we're all pretty funny.
Everybody.
They were a great audience.
It's my favorite quote by Billy Squire.
The Triangle, not such a great audience.
I don't imagine it was.
They changed that whole place around. The stage is right at the front when you come in the door, and that back part where the stage used to be is now the pool table and the video poker area. So the stage is like 10 feet from the bar.
I liked how it was set up before, kind of.
I know. Fuck those guys, right?
It kind of had the little backstage kind of almost area.
But they got a bigger outside area, smoking patio, but it was on fire at the time.
Can I get all serious for a second?
Let's do it.
Maybe.
Now, we were talking, Matt and yesterday about this idea, and I wanted to bring it up because it was like, imagine a horror movie where the horror movie is that it takes place at a carnival, like at an amusement park, right?
Yep.
But the horror part of it is when you get on, they don't turn the ride off.
Ever?
That's
ever.
All.
And it's one of those crazy ones?
No.
Or not.
Yeah.
Ferris wheel.
Imagine a 70... Could you ride the Scrambler for 72 hours straight?
Dude, I rode this thing called the Orbiter at the Linn County Fair.
Is that disc?
No, it's like it's got three cars on each arm, and then it just goes around, and as it goes around, and then it kind of goes...
yeah.
Dude, he claimed it was going 85 miles an hour. He said, at nighttime, we go 95. And I said... It's cool. I'm not coming back because it made my stomach feel weird and my face was all... And I was like, I'm too old for this. I feel like I'm going to... But me and my wife had never been on a carnival ride together in the 10 years that we've been together.
But the Scrambler, right?
It's yeah, we
not
got more.
Like, it's not, you know, a pukey ride. There. I know, but I'm saying the Scrambler, it's just kind of a dorky little...
That's when you try to high-five your friend and you just snap both elbows off.
Yeah. And so
we were talking about... Things like your pastimes would get whipped out of the car. Yeah. Like your phone would fly out of the car.
Because if you knew you were
going
to ride on there for 72 hours trying to break a record, you'd probably take your phone on there,
bring
you know, for something
or some
to do.
Magazines.
But then, as soon as the ride took off and you got whipped one of those times, you know, your phone would fly out. Or you think you could read a book on the Scrambler?
No. What about El Nino? Like, you ever been on El Nino?
No.
That fucking thing's crazy, dude. I went on that like when the first year I ever had a cell phone.
Oh,
my
okay.
cell phone flew out of my pocket.
Uh-huh.
Like, I got off the ride, and they're like, I saw your phone fly. Because I was like, my phone. And they're like, I saw it. And everyone's like looking for my phone. Found it. It still worked, dude. It was one of those flip phones.
Yeah.
The ones that flip open.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty high tech back in 2004. But, dude, El Nino. I don't think it's ill.
Your phone made it through El Nino.
It did.
And it was a Verizon phone, little gray flip phone with the antenna that doesn't pull up.
Right.
It's like a little stubby antenna. Mm-hmm. You're like, doesn't this pull up? No.
Yep.
And it still worked, but the speaker on it was like, I couldn't hear anybody unless I put it on speakerphone. So like the ear speaker.
Yeah, maybe some came off of the speaker.
But that thing, I probably can't remember right, but I think it turned us upside down and flipped us all around. And there was like a fog machine and strobe lights and stuff.
What about the tilt-a-whirl for 72 hours?
I can handle it, but dude, what are you going to do for 70? You'd have to sleep.
Read a book.
Take a nap.
I know. You could realistically lay down on the Scrambler. Because the guy that got those long bed cars where you got like four people on there.
They're not that long. How tall are you?
3'9".
Okay, then you could
there
lay
you
down.
Go.
Well, you could,
nice and cozy.
You know, you're going to have to brace your feet at the one end or else your head's going to hit the thing every time, you know. It would be an uncomfortable sleep.
I don't think I'd want
to
do it.
I challenge you to read the new Stephen King book on the Scrambler.
We need to figure out how this would end, though. How would the movie end? Would the ride stop? Or would the guy die? Or
See, now I'm reading the Stephen
Maybe
King
it would
book.
Just like fade out while it's still going.
I'm reading the Stephen King book right now called Joyland, and it's about an amusement park. It came out in 2006, really? But it's new to me. Yeah, and it's about this haunted spook house in the amusement park, but I don't know. I'll read that one on the fucking Ring of Fire. Is that a thing?
On the Ring of Fire.
Is that a right? What's that one that just goes around?
And then it stops at the top.
Yeah, and sometimes
I rode that once with my uncle's girlfriend.
Nice.
And she was pretty skinny. He had met her in.
Were you trying to like?
He had met her in prison.
Make him look cooler by saying
he had met her in prison.
She was like a model.
He met her in prison.
He met her in prison, and she was 18, and he was in his late 30s.
Most ladies in prison at 18 are kind of skinny.
She wasn't.
They're more concerned.
She wasn't 100 pounds. I'll tell you that.
More concerned about some dope than some food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So she was skinny.
Yeah. But that was probably going on.
Okay. So did she fall out of the ride, or where were you?
No, but we sat in the middle, and the bar was so loose when it stopped at the top. I thought she was gonna slide out.
She could have done like a floop floop right on the monkey bars. Huh.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. We went on the Ferris wheel, but it actually was a gondola cart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, with the cage.
Stupid,
right?
Dude. I hated it. It was a regular Ferris wheel, but it wasn't regular Ferris wheel.
Yeah. They like. Mm-hmm. Weird.
It had like a door on the side that you walk out of, like a gondola kind of. But it wasn't that high. I was high, but I think I was higher than the ride. That was the weird thing about it.
Ferris wheels freak me out.
Do they?
Yeah. I don't like heights that much.
Yeah. Mm. It wasn't too bad.
I once made out on a Ferris wheel, though.
Wow.
At the State
Fair.
Do you
think you could make out on a scrambler?
Dude, I would like to see that.
A kissing contest like they had on Happy Days. 72-hour lip lock on the scrambler.
What if you did a kissing contest on the Tilt-A-Whirl?
Do you think you could have...
I'd probably end up in some bad mouthfuls.
Do you think you could have sexual intercourse on the zipper? Because it's like the cages are like body
shaped.
That
is true.
And you'd be like, I love it when you go around the final one and you all go floop.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're flying off. And I recently saw this video of a roller coaster, and they're like, upside down, and then around, and then up to the highest peak of it, and they just went,
and it flew off. Yeah. I saw that, yeah.
And I almost thought that was like a fake put-together video, because I've seen some videos, which I'd like to talk to you about later.
It was off the rails.
That were so well edited. I don't know, like he put a piece of pizza into like a copy machine or a picture of a piece of pizza, and then when he pulled it out, it was like actually a piece of pizza, and all these weird things where like a guy was skateboarding.
Talking about Carbonaro effect.
I don't know how he does it. There was a guy skateboarding in the background behind him, and he went like this and grabbed the skateboard, and he had like a little toy skateboard in his hand, and the guy fell on the. I mean, it's totally
cool.
It's just. Like, and the people who posted
you
do like,
crazy things
they're like, I've watched this in slow motion and I cannot see any editing. And they have awesome technology now with software.
Yep.
Is that what it is?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, just look at Jar Jar Binks.
How long ago was that? That was like 10 years ago, wasn't it?
2002?
They've came leaps and bounds since then, haven't they?
No, Jar Jar was before 2000.
It was pre-9/11, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember...
Wait, you better remember.
It was
remember.
Like 98.
Always remember. Okay. You said remember.
99.
You said remember.
Okay.
I know. I never forget.
Right after you said 9/11, you're like, I remember, but you were starting another sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird. That's
somebody's
programmed into your
head. 9/11. I can't remember who it was, but it was a cartoon character.
What? That's not a person then. How could they have a birthday? Who? Mickey Mouse?
No, it was like somebody.
A somebody.
I can't remember.
It's okay.
I can't remember what cartoon it was.
That's
but,
okay.
Yeah.
So how is the video production thing going these days, Matt? If anybody who's listening doesn't know who Matt is, he's a...
Recent graduate.
That's right.
Yes.
And somewhat of a filmmaker, I
would
guess.
Trying to get into the industry, yeah.
Yeah. And what's your main goal? I mean, what is your main love as far as, like, do you love the video taking, the editing? You love
camera
operator?
Well, I like writing the best, and that's what I have my portfolio work so far. It's just a couple little writing stints, but...
And you did a multi-episode series? Okay, and I try to remember it right. You got picked up by It was a class project or something like that?
I always try to make it sound bigger than it actually is. It's just like a club.
Okay, of course.
Yeah, totally.
So let's hear it.
It's a. It got picked up. I pitched it myself. It was 4 episodes, about 8 minutes each.
Mm-hmm.
And it got picked up. I pitched it to this thing called Duck TV, which is like a student-run club, but it actually simulcasts on OPB. Or not OPB. Yeah, OPB, local access, at like 9 p.m. at night. So it's kind of real, but we'd have showings every Wednesday night, and I don't know, a couple hundred people were there. But it's kind of like only the people in the club would show up, but we'd advertise it with free food and whatnot. We'd get some stragglers, but yeah, no, that was a blast.
You could talk your friends into coming.
Absolutely, yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
But they're all up on YouTube now, and that's what I'd like to do is write, but that's kind of
and those are comedy,
but right
like
away.
A series, and then
yeah,
it's, okay. It's
kind of an ode to like Full House kind of comedy, like feel
right
good,
on.
Silly, very
family affair,
referential humor.
Cool.
Yeah, no, it's pretty silly.
And so now, are your plans to do any more schooling or just?
I think I'm done with school finally,
good.
But.
No, I hate to tell anybody not to go to school, but I just see so many, and you.
That's
probably
what
see
I'm
as
saying.
Well.
Yep.
You can
go
spend
ahead.
All more years in school, and you're not going to get any better of a job than if
Absolutely.
You go out there and get on the job mm-hmm. training, meeting
Absolutely.
People, getting your stuff out there to where. Oh no, people have been asking a lot on. I'm on a lot of pages of comics, helping comics,
yep.
different things on Facebook, and a lot of people come on and say, "Oh, is it important for me to include the word comedian on my Facebook page?" Or mm-hmm. you know, all they're asking all these. Illegitimate questions, and you're like, focus on your craft, focus on getting
yep.
better, hit as many mics as you can, get any showcases you can, and don't
take all the opportunities you can.
Don't worry
yeah.
about if someone knows that you're a comedian on Facebook, that doesn't matter. And don't worry what other
yep.
you know. And so,
Absolutely.
With you know, who you're gonna go to school, or you're gonna go out there and make some movies and,
yep.
and get mm-hmm. noticed by somebody. Because in this day and age, YouTube is one of the biggest
great platforms,
yeah.
Yep.
I mean. It's crazy. It's kind of like the fact of the technology where they don't really go by Nielsen ratings on TV anymore. It's more by Twitter feed, which
right.
is crazy to
yeah.
me. So they don't really go by... I mean, you can still go
But you
into,
also have to be able to make your stuff stand out now
right. That's,
right. more.
Yeah.
You can go
you
into
know.
A network, and you
yep.
will always be able to go into a network and pitch an idea to them if you have the know-how to take the right channels to get into their office. But on YouTube, you can't just let it sit there, right?
Right.
You got to get it into the right eyeballs to see somebody notice it and have someone. I think that's with that anything. You have to know the right person that's in your corner.
You have to know the know.
My opinion on schooling is you don't. It's not necessary, but I'm definitely glad I did it just for
oh, yeah.
networking
yeah.
purposes and such.
Yeah.
But I would.
You had to have
it
learned.
Doesn't,
yeah.
Doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt, but I'd say like for those people that want to be you know accountants or. Whatever, just go to school for that. But
right. yeah,
it's not a deal breaker if you want to get in the movie industry or comedy.
Liberal
or
arts.
TV.
Right.
Arts, it helps. You learn some stuff. You meet people, meet
yeah.
new friend circles that can introduce you to other people and such. But
yeah, like my son
yeah.
Mike, he's thinking about going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of telling him not to because he wants to go for audio engineering. And he's already smart enough. He already makes fucking
yeah.
awesome beats. He knows how to run whatever it is, FL Studios, where he's. Mixing all these,
mm-hmm.
he knows more than I do, and I took a year of audio engineering. And, of course, he would meet people, and he would get some connections, but
mm-hmm.
probably be more of a waste of time. I mean, it'd be an easy way to build up some, which he doesn't look at it this way, but an easy way to rack up some debt. But at the
yeah.
time,
yep.
it's a free ride to go to school and have them pay for your stuff. You're like, I'm going to school, and they're giving me money. That I'm going to have to pay back later.
My favorite yeah. part of school, my schooling, is when we had guest speakers come.
Oh, yeah?
And kind of show
Were them. They very, like, someone that you kind of looked up to ever? Like?
Oh, yeah. We had Caitlin Olsen from Always Sunny drop
and
by this
she
year.
The
like
third
a,
Olsen twin.
Third Olsen twin.
Was she, like, a camera operator, a writer, or something
she,
like that?
She was just an alumni. She was a theater major. And hers drew the biggest crowd, obviously, because she's
right.
the most relevant at the time. But she mainly talked about just like anecdotal stuff about when she was a student and kind of asked if like the same stuff was going on. She didn't really
yeah.
give any how-tos and stuff, but
yeah.
I've been to a lot of people where they'd come and they'd bring a PowerPoint and they'd say like, this is how I did this. Actually, a lot of Pixar animators are alumni, and I was fortunate enough to go to a couple workshops to where they would bring in scenes of like Monsters, Inc. and whatnot, and like from like storyboard form to final form, and say like, this is how we got there, this is what we do here. Yeah.
It's crazy how much it dictates what kind of usually TV credits that you have dictates how many people come out to your shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Someone said that the other day. It was, I think it was on that same post. Is it important for me to keep comedian in my thing? They're like, no, get a TV credit. That's what's important. If you just get on a reality show or some stupid show, then you can say, he's from this show. And people will go, oh, he's from a show.
Yep.
He was on a...
That's how you get people on a reality show, is because they think they're just going to become a star after that.
Yep. Yeah, now I got my own show.
How what's happening on Big Brother, who got voted off this week?
Are you making fun of me?
No, asking in general.
I can't remember where we left it last. I did.
Oh, I didn't actually expect you to know.
See, you were making fun of me. I knew it.
No, I forgot that you were actually watching a little
bit. Yeah, I told you that I'd been kind of watching it because
I forgot about that.
Watched the first couple episodes with my parents, which is kind of a bonding thing. But
certainly,
that's valid.
They love it. They've watched all.
They've gone to conferences.
Oh,
they met
people. Tons of the people. Yeah.
Oh. Yep.
They'll go to like to the cast wrap party in Las Vegas, and they got pictures with former cast members.
Isn't it a cast already a wrap? Because if you got a cast,
it's a wrap party.
Like on your arm is wrapped.
That's right. That's why they call it that.
Punny.
That's punny, dude. But yeah, I think right now, I think they're going to try to vote off all the girls. There's four girls on the block right now.
Oh.
They've doubled it up. They have always have two heads of households, and then each going to choose two people to be on the block. But the guy that I hate
is Jenny on the block?
She's off the block.
Oh.
No, I don't think there's a Jenny on here this year. But. No, I've been paying more attention to Last Comic Standing, which is down to the final five now.
I watched part of something or other.
Now, who's the host of Last Comic Standing now?
JB Smoove.
Yep. We both say it like that. And welcome to the show. He's always like, looks like Urkel with his my kind of glasses
now,
and a bow tie.
I used to love that show when Jay Moore was the host.
Yeah.
A while ago.
They took a few years off, and this is their first year back. The format's a little different.
Are they on TBS or were they on?
NBC.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I watched part of it because it was a Gilbert Gottfried roast.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I only watched a few different things, but he got them pretty good at the end, I thought.
He always does.
Yep. But they had a lot of...
You know why Gilbert Gottfried keeps his eyes closed? Because I can't remember what they said, but it's something like he doesn't like looking at the audience.
Yeah.
Because they're not laughing at him.
Yeah, a lot of them had the same kind of jokes, but there is a few good singers
in
there.
You know that guy with the funny voice and the nerdy guy, Joe Mackey?
Mm-hmm.
He almost broke character. I think that's not his real voice, because Roseanne asked him that from the beginning. Is that your real voice? And he's like, well, I just kind of talk like that because I get nervous in front of people. Mm-hmm. But he was doing a joke. He goes, I did have to Google you, Gilbert Gottfried. Turns out... I guess he was a comedian, and like his voice went down for a second because he laughed during his punchline. But I think either him or Rodman are going to take it. Rodman's a funny black dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's just his mannerisms. He can say stuff. Mm-hmm. He just repeats everything. He repeats everything. He repeats everything like three times.
Mm-hmm.
Three times. He'll say everything three times, and he'll say it three times, and then he's got a family. I think it would work well for a development deal, like a family-based, everybody loves Raymond type of... It's like my children and my wife, they love Ellen. They love to watch Ellen on the television. They watch Ellen. And if I could get on Ellen, I'd get brand points.
Mm-hmm.
Brand points for Rodney.
And then he got on Ellen.
He did.
He got brownie points.
Yep, and then he did the
and
thing.
And then he ate those brownies and didn't even really get high off of it.
No. He's just like me. They said, Rod Man, is that your last name? Man? Really your last name? And he's like, yeah, you can call me Mr. Man. That's what my mama used to call me.
Mr. Man.
Yeah. Listen here, Mr. Man. That's what all my gay friends call me.
I'm about a sentence behind here. Are you insinuating Ellen has weed brownies in the green room?
No.
The Ellen Show?
That'd be a good one.
Imagine that.
I don't think, she probably has coke.
What if she's
in there?
Wild off camera?
Well, I'm sure she is
a lesbian.
Yeah. She is dating Portia de Rossi.
I saw a video of those. Girls, they were doing coke, and
I think Ellen's pretty raunchy off camera. I think she's a raunchy
they
whore.
They were scissoring too.
I think she's a raunchy whore.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. You remember that picture going around where she was all gawking at that one chick's tits?
I've never seen that.
No. What are you talking about? That selfie at the Oscars? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's something else. It's from way before. She was, looked all drunk, and she was all hanging off Portia de Rossi, but her, she was all...
Well, lesbians get drunk, too.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I just thought it was funny. Speaking of TV, I was watching the History Channel the other day, you know?
Was Pawn Stars on?
That's not history.
No, this was, no, this is... I know, this is H2, oh, okay. But I call that History Channel.
It's not.
But they were doing a thing on retro tech.
Okay.
And it was weird because they were talking like this stuff was 100 years old, but they were talking about like...
The wheel?
The console television.
Okay.
Typewriters.
I used to have a console television.
Film cameras. Photo albums. They were talking like it was 100 years old, like it was like two generations ago.
Yeah, but just think, in the 60s, don't you think when they were retro tech talking, which they did a lot in the 60s, like, welcome to Retro Tech. It's September 1st, 1964. And today we'll be talking about the 40s, because that was a long time ago. 20 years in the 40s.
Yeah, you think about console TVs are probably phased out like, what, 25 years ago, probably.
We had one of the coolest ones, dude. It had a record player and a stereo in one side, and it had two speakers on each side, and then it had, like, storage on the other side, and it looked like a nice piece of furniture. But still have it, but my dad wanted to throw it away, but he couldn't find anywhere to throw it away, so he fucking sawed it in half with a chainsaw and threw it in the corner of the car wash. I think it's still in there in two pieces. He took the TV out and sawed the...
You probably could have fixed that up and sold it.
I know, what a dummy. Of course, he didn't know. He's 71 now.
Have you ever gone through your old photo albums and taken pictures of the photos so you can have them in digital form?
No. But have you ever went through an old photo album and tried to get the pictures out to scan into your computer?
Yeah.
The fucking colors coming off the page with the thing, and then you... Oh, that picture's ripped in half. Yeah. Why did they make the stick'em so hardcore? Or maybe it just got too hot.
Well, because they are lifelong memories. They wanted them to last forever. They didn't know that
they didn't have
was
the
coming.
Foresight to know that we'd need those pictures out to scan them into a fucking thing that would actually put it onto a screen. You don't think people knew about that stuff?
Nope. The Beatles didn't sing about it.
Whoa, I can't believe you just said the Beatles, dude.
I did.
Trying to work this
story.
Look, it's right here.
I did.
A group of actual insects pulled a Yoko Ono recently and ruined a tree that was planted in memory of the former Beatle, George Harrison. This is where it gets really weird. So they planted this pine tree in 2004 near the Griffith Observatory, but now it has been killed by beetles. The tree for George Harrison was killed by beetles.
At least it didn't go with the Dutch elm disease.
Well... I guess that's a point. Harrison fans may want to gently weep for a while, but the tree will be replanted. Some weird kind of beetles that killed it.
They're going to replant it after it's dead?
No, they're going to replant a tree where that tree was.
Oh, you're supposed to plant two per one so that pretty soon we don't have any place to live.
They have
humans and
there.
Trees.
Luckily, the beetles didn't fucking ruin the plaque, too.
Caveman was on TV the other day.
Captain Caveman?
No, Caveman.
Who's Caveman?
Ringo Starr.
Ringo, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, on a Access TV special.
Caveman, the Magic Christian.
Isn't there a funny bug scene in that we used to play on the Scenic game with the
Maybe.
Movie clip where like he splatters a bug?
I'd never seen the whole thing before, but the part that I watched the other day was a giant egg.
Maybe that's it.
Was a giant egg or something had like something fell from the sky and it cracked open and it turned out to be like a cooked egg. It was all white and then a yellow thing of yolk in the middle and the guys all dancing in the yolk. And then they're all eating parts of this giant egg, so it's like a big huge piece of like thick white egg stuff, and I'm all like, that just looks nasty.
I don't even.
And
like
then
it.
They're all carrying bits and pieces of it over their shoulder back wherever they're going.
Dude, that's fucking gross.
That's what I know. That's what I thought. You know, you go to Denny's these days, you can get $4. You can get endless pancakes.
What?
Oh, hey. Sorry.
What?
Sorry to derail.
No,
but we
fine.
Were talking about earlier. I don't know if it was on air or not, but the gun to kill the flies with the salt.
Oh yeah.
I was about to suggest that Denny's buy stock in that and have one at every table.
They should. They should.
And then even if there weren't flies in there, you could just shoot salt onto your food.
Yeah, I know. A high power.
Or at the elderly couple's.
A high powered salt shooter. 2 boosts away.
Yep. Dude.
Load it with rock salt.
I've been going there a couple times. We went there, and for $2, you can get biscuits and gravies and hash browns.
Recently at the Denny's here?
Do you tip, though? Do you tip for a $2 meal?
Oh, yeah.
Should tip at least.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
At least $1, right?
Check sure. Well, at least, you know. You're there for a half an hour.
True.
You give them $1. That's an extra $2 an hour. Figure they have at least 3 tables. That's an extra $6 an hour. If they're making like $8, that's $14 an hour. That's good enough.
Just for the 1 hour. But just think how many other customers they have that are doing that, so they're really racking it up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's
it.
Okay.
Depends on the service, you know. I mean,
that's true.
You know, I like to at least leave a couple bucks just for being there.
We're taking a little break there from the Denny's comedy because in summer it's hard to get people to come in when it's still...
It said comedy shows, ask your server right there.
What?
It did. It said on their little cards, it said comedy shows, ask your server.
Oh. Well, yeah, you ask your server because we're on hiatus for a couple months because people don't like to come in when it's hot and sunny and still light outside.
True.
It's just hard to get them unless... So,
but if you did it, could you do the show out there on their little smoking patio?
We probably could. That'd be fun.
Because then people could smoke at the show.
Oh, man. That would be a fucking plus.
Yeah, if you just had somebody in the corner there just like telling jokes out there, and then people could come and smoke, and they go, oh, what's this? And then they stay and smoke.
As long as it's 10 feet from the door.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it is. It's a smoking area. You were talking about Death earlier. I don't know if you were.
The band Death?
No. But it reminded me of a Nathan For You I saw.
Okay.
That show on Comedy Central, Nathan For You, and he did that. What he was, it was a pet store.
Okay.
He helps businesses, and he was going to help a pet store make more money. Did you see this one?
No, but
okay. So
being a good sidekick,
his idea was that he was going to go to a pet cemetery and advertise at the pet cemetery, but you couldn't advertise at the pet cemetery.
Why?
Because
they're all dead.
No, you just can't advertise. They just didn't have ads there in the cemetery. You know, it wouldn't be respectful.
You could make your own sign and put them up.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be respectful. So what his plan was
tape flyers
was that he was going to get a pet, and then when it died, he was going to bury it there, and then the ad would be the headstone.
Oh, well, you just kill your pet just to hurry it up.
Well, he had a fly. He got a fly as a pet.
I had a pet fly once.
And one day he came into the office and it was dead.
They only live like 3 or 4 days.
Yep, and he had a wake and a service, I think, and invited the guy who kind of took a liking to the fly at the office where they were, the production assistant or something like that.
All right.
And then he got this headstone, and they were all flat headstones, you know, like some cemeteries are. It's a pet cemetery,
right.
you know. Dude, he bought this thing. It was 8 feet tall and 8 feet wide, like fucking giant.
That's
and
a
it was
good ad
like
space.
A huge ad. It had the address and fucking big old thing. The guy's like, "We're gonna have a problem." The guy running it, and he ended up buying the guy off. He could leave it there forever for $2,000.
Wow,
like, damn, that's a great deal.
Where does that money go?
And so, if you mention that tombstone, you go to the pet cemetery, you see that, you mention that tombstone at the pet store, you get 15% off a new pet.
Sweet. That's a racket right there is what that is. That's awesome.
I know.
That's great.
That's great for $2,000 right. for a lifetime ad.
Yeah, I've been trying to help pet store owners as well by redirecting people from the adult store down there because it's a really actually a pretty popular part of my act lately, telling people that you can get what's called a chew toy. It looks like a dildo, though, and it's only $7.99. And then I added something that got a good reaction the other night after I said you can get some fetish wear, like a collar and a leash for like $7.99. And you can even get a rabbit there, ladies. You can get a rabbit at the pet store.
Or for the men, you can get a gerbil.
Remote. Ooh, that's right.
You got to add that in there. For the men, you can get a gerbil.
Yep. Yep.
And a tube. A hamster tube for easy access.
yikes.
Yeah, are you tired of using those old paper towel rolls?
You think you can actually just stuff a gerbil up your ass, dude? No, you gotta have a tube there and let him run in there.
You gotta make
it's
it fun
a
for him.
Called a paper towel roll. A funnel.
You gotta make it fun for him.
You gotta make a funnel for him.
Yeah.
You gotta make it fun for him and make a funnel for him. Because that's true,
because he's obviously not just going to climb in there on his own.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if he thinks it's like a slide.
Push it in there.
All right, you know what that means.
What's in Hans's CD player?
Oh my God, you scared me. So he was obviously listening to some new sleep, but they only have one song. So today he's listening to, Hans, are you being a hipster? He's listening to Towns Van Zandt after he found out that Mike Scheidt did a song by... No, I'm sorry, Hans. I shouldn't say that. You probably liked Towns Van Zandt before, didn't you?
You guys, I'm a fan of the Van Zandt Bandana Brothers.
But it's not the Van Zandt from Skinner, I don't think, is it? He's like a what do you call him? Like a folky dude. He's a
Gus
folky.
Van Zandt?
No, Towns.
Towns?
What town's he from? Towns Van Zandt. Towns Van Zandt. I was thinking of Ronnie.
Wasn't he on The Sopranos?
No, dude.
Too much dude. Sopranos lately.
Dude, what do you got Sopranos on the brain?
Towns Van Zandt died in 97.
I know, but that's what
American
I'm saying.
Singer, songwriter.
Sometimes hipsters are late on the thing, and I'm just thinking, so maybe you always liked Towns Van Zandt. I'm not familiar with them.
Blues, folk, country.
But I know that Nate Hall, who's from American Christmas, who Hans loves a lot, and Mike Scheidt from Yob, who Hans loves a lot, recently appeared on a tribute album to Towns Van Zandt. And I'm almost thinking that maybe because they did that, it might have turned Hans on to, hey, maybe I should check out Towns Van Zandt.
You know that song, If I Needed You?
Maybe. Is it by Air Supply?
Or To Live Is To Fly.
That's what Mike Scheidt did. That's the song he did.
They're considered standards of their genre.
Yeah, but I'm not into that genre that much. Folk rock, is that what it was?
Yep.
Well, whatever. It was thanks to Hans that I actually checked out Psycho Circus because he was listening to that by Kiss. And I was like, Hans, what are you doing listening to a Kiss album that was released after 1979 or 83 or whatever?
He wrote this song, and I know you know this song, Poncho and Lefty.
Oh, yeah, by Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson.
Bam! He originally wrote that.
Well, then I guess I'm familiar with one of his songs from my childhood because my dad used to love that song. He had that album.
Yeah.
I'm going to call my dad right now, just a second.
Yeah, he toured dive bars, often living in cheap motel rooms, backwoods cabins, and on friends' couches. He was notorious for his drug addiction, alcoholism, and his tendency to tell tall tales. So what I'm saying is he really liked to go and get drunk
and
tell the story of Paul Bunyan and Pecos Bill. Isn't that what a tall tale is?
Yeah, or Poncho, the story of Poncho and Lefty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tall tale, too. Yep.
He was diagnosed with bipolar disorder when he was a youngster.
Wow.
And it was like in the 40s.
Yeah, that's not true. They're making stuff up because they didn't have that back then.
And insulin shock therapy erased much of his long-term memory.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Insulin shock therapy? That's why they don't perform that anymore. He's like, I used to know 40 songs, but now I only know 25.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say there, Hans, thanks, buddy. There was a song on there called Into the Void, which was not a Black Sabbath cover. It was an Ace Frehley song.
Na, na, na.
And so I looked
into
it,
void.
And I downloaded a box set of Kiss called Icons, where each disc features all songs from one member of the band. And so disc 3 was all Ace. It was awesome.
Into the Void. Is that the best one, in your opinion?
It was my favorite. I
think it probably was the most listenable.
Of the solo albums, you mean?
Yeah, I don't think I ever really even gave Peter Criss a chance.
Well, this disc is just a mix of all the songs that Ace sang with Kiss and some songs from his solo album.
I was kind of down on him because he was a drummer. I was like, what would his solo album be like?
Well, he's a singer too.
I know, and it probably I was just a kid.
He sang more songs than Ace before Ace ever sang songs. He sang Black Diamond on the first album, bro.
Black Diamond.
He kind of sounds like
Did he do the ooze?
No.
Black Diamond.
No, he did the verses.
Well,
you're getting pretty good at that. Have you been practicing?
Yeah, I have.
I'm betting people might be turning up.
I've also been practicing. Bit this city, I rock and roll.
They were just in Springfield like 2 weeks ago.
Did I tell you who's coming around? Rocks. Michael McDonald and Toto.
Oh, no.
So I'm wondering.
Duets.
What song is Michael McDonald going to do of Toto's? Is he going to come out and do...
He ain't going to do a Toto's.
Hold the line.
What? Now.
You got always hard up. He could do that, don't you think? McDonald could do that up.
Yeah, but it would be weird on the verses. He'd be like, it's not in the way that you told me. It's not in the way you say you care.
Dude, they're going to have him in the dark, and then on the chorus, dude, they'll spotlight him, and he'll do the whole line.
Why do you think
they're
going to do duets?
Because Michael McDonald has to guest on. If he does a tour with somebody, he has to guest because he's got the greatest singing voice of all time, right?
This happened somewhere back in long ago.
So, yeah, if he toured with the Doobies, don't you think he would do a set with, or he'd do a couple songs with the Doobies?
No.
If he toured with Nine Inch Nails, don't you think he'd come out and do, like, Animal or whatever that song is?
I wanna fuck you like an animal.
Yep.
I doubt it. Pat Benatar was just in Eugene.
Huh.
35th year anniversary tour.
What about Yes?
No.
Yes is coming to the Spirit Mountain, and Yes, Flames kind of wants to go and see Yes.
No.
$30.
Why does Flames want to see Yes?
I don't know. I don't know. I like Yes. I don't think that guy could probably belt it out like he used to, though.
John?
Yeah.
Oh, sure he could.
Well, it's a... Close to the edge and run the river!
Is that what he sings like?
No, that's about as high as I can go at the moment, though. But I don't know. I can't remember any of the lyrics. I was trying to think of that one where he goes... Even,
I see no good people!
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. See no good people!
What does that line even mean? I've seen all good people turn their heads each day, it's so satisfied early, it's on my way.
It's early doom, though, because it's like a 9-minute song, and then he goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Just because the song's long doesn't make it doom.
Tracing the roots to doom.
Oh, yeah. Right? But
if it's a long song, it's got to be doom.
But there was a super busy bass line, too.
Yeah, that's super progressive. Busy. That's a progressive rock. They're progressing on to the next thing all the time. Hey, real quick, local
That's
birthday.
Pra-rock.
It's the only one I got. Local birthday. Greg Bleege.
Oh, Greg, happy birthday.
I'm going
to
tag him in this
Greg.
Episode so he'll listen to it once.
I have a special thing for birthdays here. Nope, I'm going to say...
Say it, dude. Just quit fucking around.
I'm going to
Are you on IMDb right now?
It's your birthday, and I can't be there, but I'll send you a special birthday wish and a little prayer. Have a happy birthday. I hope that all your birthday wishes come true. May you have a great time today and find happiness in everything you do.
I didn't know you were so...
I'm moved.
...intimate with Greg Bleege.
Another candle on your cake.
You're
well, there's
done?
No need to pout, but glad that you have the strength enough to blow them all out.
Blow me. I'm a candle. Happy birthday from your 40 candles. Now blow me out.
Yep. I just missed some little birthday poems.
Well, that was nice.
That I did not write.
We don't usually have poetry on here, but that's cool.
Yep.
You got any other poems you want to do?
The best way, here's some quote about birthdays. You know the best way to remember your wife's birthday?
Tattoo it on your finger.
What's the best way?
Forget it once.
Ha ha.
Ha ha ha. Okay.
I'm looking at celebrity birthdays right now.
Okay.
Pretty dry. Maya Rudolph, Saturday Night Live alum. Pretty funny. That's the best. Oh, Triple H.
Ooh. So, Triple H. What does that stand for anyway? Hard, heavy, and hot.
No, it's Henry Harold Hudson.
Seriously?
No. Oh.
His real name is not Triple H, by the way.
That's weird.
It's Triple... Paul Levesque.
Huh.
Now, imagine if he had a kid and he named him Preparation.
Oh!
H-H.
Preparation H.
It would be Preparation Triple H.
Preparation H-H.
Preparation Howard H.
Yep. Our birthdays are feathers in the broad wing of time.
Please, dude. Why are you doing the birthday poems?
Inside every... Okay.
Are you on drugs?
Yeah, I am. I got some... Here's some interesting facts. A new segment I like to call Dry Ice.
Dry ice, dry ice. There's a thing called dry ice.
Dry ice is a wonderful cleaning agent, tons of fun to play with, and a great refrigerant. In all its glory, dry ice does come with one drawback. It can be dangerous if you don't know how to follow the safety rules.
And this has been Dry Ice with Dustin Gatchel.
Tune in next week. Tons of fun to play with, though.
It is pretty.
I found a new tip on how to cool your room temperature soda down in 2 minutes.
How do you do that?
You take a pretty large size bowl and you put a little water in it, and then you fill it the rest of the way with ice, and then you pour a bunch of salt in it, and then you put your can or your bottle in there, and you kind of roll it around. You leave it in there for 2 minutes, and for some reason, the salt creates some weird thing chemically to make the ice melt faster, but in order for that to do that, it has to draw heat from anything that it can, and it's the heat in the can.
And so it absorbs the
moisture. It was 75 degrees, room temperature, soda, a six-pack, and they did that, and then they put it in there for 2 minutes, and it was down to 41 degrees.
I used to do that with the coolers when you're going to the park or whatever. You put your ice and everything in there, and then you put salt on the ice, and then you put your sodas in, and then you take a drink of your can, and it's like there's salt on the top, and so
like
it's a little
margarita.
Salty.
Yeah, and when I told my wife...
It brings you back to the memories of summer.
She said that they used to make her clean the coffee machines at her work with ice and salt.
What's an abrasive cleaning agent, I guess. Sometimes I use salt and water to clean my pipes because it's an abrasive cleaning agent.
Salt water?
Yep.
I always use salt water in my bong.
I started smoking that giant resin ball, the obsidian rock.
Oh, man. How are you doing? You got a lung?
I don't know.
Shrug?
It's weird to smoke a big ball of resin because it's hard to get lit. And then as soon as you kind of do, it all melts and then plugs up the hole. And so you're trying to hit it hard. And then you got to dig it around and empty the hole. And then it doesn't really get clear. And then you're trying to suck it through. And then you can't really do nothing.
There are downsides to smoking resin.
It's all downsides.
Well, there's one upside. There's one upside. At least it's not meth.
That's true.
You know, leading to the next story.
If it was smoking meth or smoking resin, I didn't have any resin, I'd probably just not smoke anything.
Yeah. Well, this one lady in Oklahoma, maybe my wife's family might know her because it's out by where they live. She was dissatisfied with the purity of her methamphetamine, so she wanted to do something about it. So she called the cops. She called the cops telling them that she thought that her ice was laced with something. And the officer came. He showed her multiple areas where she had meth stashed in her house. And she admitted to using the drugs. And that she was hearing things and sweating profusely, so it must have been laced with something. So he arrested her and brought her to the Garfield County Jail. You've seen it all, something new will surprise you. It's sad when people utilize these drugs. They don't realize how it affects them. And if you're so fucked up on drugs that you want to call the cops, that's like this one lady called and said, hey, I just bought some weed from this dude, and it was like half of what he said it was going to be. And so they came out and they said, okay, what's the problem? And she said, yeah, I bought this weed. And they're like, do you still have the weed? And she said, yeah. And she pulls it out of her bra and they said, thank you. You're now under arrest for possession of weed. And she's like, hey, wait a minute. You can't. Oh, well, yes, we can, and that's what we're going to do. So she is facing now a felony count of possession of meth and a misdemeanor count of unlawful possession of drug paraphernalia, and she could be sentenced up to 10 years in jail, all at her own doing because she thought her ice was laced with some kind of a psychedelic drug.
She got her picture in one of those local newspapers got in her area.
I'm sure. Enid. That's the town. Enid, Oklahoma.
Enid, Oklahoma. I bet you they got a lot of people named Enos. You think is anybody still naming their children's Enos?
No, I don't think. Well, maybe, you never know. You know, the hipsters like to go old school and they'll name their daughter like Dorothy.
I used to love that name.
Enos?
Yeah.
Dipstick. You know, he had his own show. He had a spinoff from
what?
Dukes of Hazzard. You didn't know that?
No, I did not.
It was called
Enos and the Gang?
It was just called Enos. I think they
were kind of like Arliss.
Rodney Gum. You seen that show, Arliss?
David Letterman.
Yeah, that was the thing.
I know it was.
Like a Norm
Have
McDonald.
You seen Arliss?
He's like, have you seen that show, Arliss? I think it's on the HBO. He's like, hey, got any gum? And that shouldn't even be funny, but fucking Norm McDonald does such a great Letterman. He's like, ha ha!
I heard he's got a podcast.
Norm McDonald?
Yeah.
I'm sure he does.
It's great.
Sure he does.
I hear he has stars such as David Spade.
David Spade.
He brings his crew back, like
David
Sandler.
David Blade.
All the Happy Madison guys.
They just had David Spade on the...
I didn't know he did Rules of Engagement. That was a Happy Madison production.
The TV show?
Or no, maybe I'm thinking of King of Queens.
I don't think King of Queens was.
No?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think Adam Sandler just hands Kevin James money.
They're gay lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see that one movie?
What was that one?
Oh, yeah. Chuck and Larry, right?
Yep.
What was that show Adam Sandler was in recently that I saw?
TV or movie?
Yeah. Yeah, where he's on the...
He came out and went, goo-ba-da-da-boo, da-ba-da-doo.
No, it was like an auction. He was playing himself.
Oh, that's a story.
And he the guy's like, oh, it's Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay.
Oh, with Andy Samberg.
Yeah, he was doing like an auction, and he was undercover, and he wasn't doing the auction. It was like some antiquity, and he started the price at like $10, and everybody's hands shot up like this. And then Adam Sandler was there because he collects antiquities, and then he went up on stage because Andy Samberg wasn't doing very good as a thing, Adam Sandberg said, all right, who bit?
Bound to happen.
Yeah, I know.
Andy Sandler.
Adam Sandler said, all right, who will bid $20 to see me put my sock in this guy's mouth? And then Joe Theismann was in the front row, and he bid like $200.
Dude, he had the worst bone break I've ever seen in sports history.
How many bone breaks have you seen in sports history?
Just the one. It was bad.
It was pretty bad.
The only reason I saw it is because I don't think... Was that in like a playoff game or a Super Bowl or something?
It was a playoff game, maybe.
Because for some reason I have some weird memory that I might have been watching that game, but I don't...
What?
Yeah. Were they playing against the Cowboys or something?
Watching the Redskins. No, it was Redskins and Giants, right? Because wasn't it Lawrence Taylor that broke his leg?
I probably wasn't watching. I probably just saw it on the news a lot.
I don't know. Well, 70s. You might have been subdued by sports.
It's a YouTube 80s, hit now.
Yeah.
Huh? It's got a lot of views on YouTube now.
Yeah.
Is all right. You know what we didn't do?
Huh?
We didn't do the podcast. We forgot to do the podcast today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh wait. We just did it. No, we didn't. We didn't beg for money.
Oh, that's right. But first,
Kickstarter.
I have a new segment.
Go fund yourself.
Called
another new segment, buddy. You're busting them out there, buddy.
There's a dream interpretation.
Okay.
Have you ever dreamt of tacos?
No, but I ate two.
I actually have.
You've dreamt of tacos?
Wait, okay, tell me if this counts. We had this taco stand that only came out on weekends at like the heart of campus. And mm-hmm.
This is part of your dream or this is real?
Yeah, it all leads up to it.
Okay.
And so... It was like a thing to do. They were only out there Thursday through Saturday, like 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. So it was like you go party out, whatever, and then you hit up the taco stand. But they're closed for summer. And so a couple weeks ago, I dreamt about just going to that taco stand again, and I got kind of sad when I woke up. So does that count as a taco dream?
It does.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You dreamt of a taco stand.
To see, did you eat a taco or just see them?
They were closed.
Yeah, and I would think I was just picturing myself like the process of like, okay, thinking to myself, inner monologue, like I'm going to have a dialogue with this person. I got to straighten up,
mm-hmm.
get my wallet out, hand him the right card. So it's like 2 a.m. on a Saturday.
Place an order.
To see or eat a taco in your dream signifies warmth and comfort.
See, that's what it was. It was like a safety blanket. Because
consider the type of taco shell, though. As this is analogous to your demeanor and attitude in your waking life. What kind of taco shells were you thinking of having?
They're always soft. Little soft shells, like the little small.
Authentic. You get two.
I don't know what they're called. They're like two,
little,
yeah.
You get two with
the little corn ones. Are
those
corn?
Are called what I call authentic
corn.
Street tacos.
Yep, absolutely.
They got some cilantro in there.
Nailing it.
Like
cilantro.
They need gravel in there?
Dude, my wife is... She's obsessed with fucking street tacos.
Yes.
There's a place in
Halsey. But I bet you if
really
you go to Mexico and get street tacos, they're probably not as FDA approved.
See, here's what
they
I
aren't.
Do. I make two tacos out of each one taco. And then my stepson was making fun of me because he's like, I just eat one because it's the same amount. Yeah, but it's a doubled up tortilla.
Isn't that like a two paper joint?
Well, no. Usually if you do a two paper joint, it's two papers taped together so you can make it bigger around. This is...
Yeah, but
is pretty much you get more meat than would be in one taco.
Right.
But it would be hard to do that with the same way with the burritos, because it'd just be huge and round and everything would fall out.
That's true. That's true.
So it's a two paper taco. So what if you had a six tortilla? Because some people do a six paper joint, right?
Yeah, but that's like...
So Mike does them, doesn't he?
He did a 32 paper joint one time, which is stupid.
A 32 paper joint?
It was like an ounce of weed.
So could you imagine?
I couldn't even roll a three paper joint.
Could you imagine?
I can't manipulate it.
What? Was it just all one long paper wide, the 32 paper joint, or was it?
No, it was like long and big. They like, licked like a whole bunch together and made
eight
like
by
one
four.
Big, yeah, one big paper.
That had to have been like 2 hours of work.
Why wouldn't you just use a regular piece of notebook paper? Wouldn't?
Because that'd be gross to smoke.
Yeah, but the point is that it's a huge joint that you're smoking. It's not what kind of paper you use.
We're not
going
to fill it full of my old
no
socks
one's gonna
and
go,
shit. We're going to put weed in it and smoke that
if
shit.
If you saw an 8 by an 11-inch joint that was 8.5 inches in girth.
Like this size of paper?
Yeah, you're not going to go... You'd say, dude, that's a huge-ass joint. You wouldn't say, dude, why are you using that kind of paper?
I would.
Would you?
Say, why aren't you using a hemp or rice paper, man? I don't want to be smoking that fucking...
Oh, you could get rice paper at a baker's so you could eat it on cake.
Yeah.
You could also use a corn husk. I've used that before, and it's very pleasant
to
if you can get it done right.
You smoked it?
Uh-huh.
Corn husk.
Corn smoker.
That might be the coolest thing I've heard.
No, what you do is you wet it a little bit so it's a little, and then you kind of let it dry to where it's thing. And then what you're supposed to do is fill it up and roll it, and then tie the corn strings.
Oh, yeah.
Tighten it up.
Oh.
But the one we did was smaller, so it was kind of, rather than do that, we just put honey along the seam. Which,
but then when it gets better, hot, it kind of comes apart.
It actually didn't. It got so thin that the resin took to it so well that it was a very slow burning joint.
Nice.
You know, I recommend it. You could probably look it up on YouTube to get a more detailed, because you got to use it after it dries, and then you kind of got
to
reconstitute it.
No kidding.
Then you got to reconstitute a little bit.
I just recently looked up on YouTube on how to fix my car, and I did it. And I don't even fucking work on cars.
What?
What do you have to fix?
Well, I was just sitting where we gave this person a ride, and then all of a sudden there was just like steam that looked like smoke just pouring out from underneath my hood. I'm like, what the fuck? My car's not even overheating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the heating system...
Somebody put a fog machine in there.
Yep. I opened my hood, and Slayer was playing in there. No, actually, what happened is there's this little plastic, hard-molded plastic that runs across where the radiator... This car is so fucking weird. All cars are weird these days. There's no access to the radiator. I, for a second, thought there wasn't a radiator, but you can only fill it up in the reservoir. There's no radiator cap. There's no radiator exposed. It's, like, all covered with this weird...
It's so that you have to go to their shop.
Probably.
They have to have a specialist in a trained class.
You got two hoses that go onto the one end of this piece of molded plastic, and then it goes over and comes off onto one on the other side, or one to two, or whatever. That just had a crack in it, because it's molded plastic, and it's got scalding hot water running through it at all times. I don't see why they would make it out of molded plastic. But anyway, it was a quick fix, pretty much. Right. Cost me
$12.99. Mm. Like you can also use one of those for the gerbil thing, too. Molded plastic, and it's got the two hoses on it. You can get two gerbils racing.
So now I realize that you've been thinking of that the whole time.
Yep.
Well,
I have.
It's a great tie-in.
Because what you want to do is you want to have like a Y cable connector.
You mean a KY? What?
No, like a Y cable. You know when you get a Y cable, you got the one tube going into your butt, and then two coming off of that.
So
you can have gerbil races. Who's going to get there first?
But to put the Y cable in there, you're going to need the KY jelly.
You will.
Anyway, back to what I tried to talk about 10 minutes ago. We're at the end of the month here, and we have no sponsors, and we're thinking about, you know, we hate to beg, but we will. But what we're going to do maybe is cut back on our format, like either make our episodes shorter or have a less frequency, maybe twice a month or something, because...
You don't want to do it.
No, we don't. We want to keep... doing this what we do three times a week. We'd love to. As a matter of fact, I heard our other people that I kind of have a competition with, but not really, because I listen to them and like them, Big and Loud, might be going back to three times a week again, as in we were catching them. We were going to catch up with them with a number of episodes, but now they're going to go, well, we'll see. We might not catch them now. But anyway, if you got any money, send it to us. Our websites are still down. They should maybe be up after next month.
GatchmanGames@hotmail.com. That's where you can send your PayPal payments to, or...
Terry A. Guile. At Gmail, and that's TerryAGEIL at Gmail.
Every dollar help.
Even 50 cents.
If 50 you, cent help, but I haven't seen him in a while.
I saw him throw out a first pitch on a baseball game, and it fucking was terrible. He went, And then I saw recently a 105-year-old woman do the first pitch on a baseball, and she fucking creamed him.
Way better.
Yeah, she did an underhand two-time swing around.
She was a softball pro.
I guess. 105, though, dude. I can't believe her arm didn't just snap off. Hmm. It wasn't a really good range of motion. It was kind of like one of these things, but she was trying to simulate it. But I think she almost got it to the plate. It was pretty awesome.
Hmm.
Made old, what's his name, Curtis look like an idiot.
Curtis Jackson?
Is that his name?
I think so. 50
Cent.
50
Cent.
50
Cent.
Yeah. No, wait. I think he changed his name to Curtis Handler.
Why, because he got married to Chelsea?
No, because he was just sad.
Ron Funches was on Chelsea Lately again the other day.
What?
Yep.
I heard he was on a show recently.
He's been on every show always.
Undateables.
Yeah. Yep.
That's over, though.
I know.
I wonder if they're going to get renewed.
They should reformat that show and make him the lead.
See, that's what you do when you take off your clothes and then you do it again. You get renewed.
They should call it... Shelly's gang.
Well, maybe they'll do one more season and he can get a spinoff, and then they'll cancel Undateable.
That's what you should work on, dude. You should work on a spinoff to take to Ron Funches of Shelly's.
You don't think he's being inundated with screenplays and
what's his character do on that show as far as the work?
Nothing. He just hangs out at the bar with his friends, and then he comes over and. I mean, you'd think they'd have a backstory.
I only saw a couple episodes, but does he get the last line in every dialogue?
Not everyone, but a lot of them.
Yeah,
he's short,
the punchline guy.
Yeah, he's the go-to guy. He's pretty funny, though.
Have you watched that, Matt?
I have not.
Undateables?
It's over. It's just singular, though. Undateable.
Oh, I was just curious.
I'm aware of it. I know Chris D'Elia is in it, who is also coming to McDonald Theater.
Oh, really?
In October.
I'm going to get me some fries there at McDonald Theater.
They don't sell them anymore.
What?
They just do Big Macs.
Oh, man.
All right, you guys, we're going to get out of here. That's right. Thanks to Matt Thill for being on the show.
Thanks, man.
He'll probably be back again, and we'll talk more about stuff. And
I miss the old McDonald's cookies. You can't get them anymore, can you?
I didn't know they existed.
The ones in the box... And they're shaped like Grimace.
Old McDonald's cookies?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that.
Remember when they came in the box? And they were like, it was like animal crackers almost.
Whoa,
but they had
nice.
Just,
that was cute.
They had a bunch of different flavors, like four or five different flavors.
And the Grimace was a grape cookie?
It was a grape box. It was a purple box.
I like to
and
think
there
outside
was red.
The box. Yeah.
But now they just give them to you in a bag, right? They're like the Otis Spunkenmeyer fucking...
Yeah, ripoff.
Like, why do people want to
like anus cookies?
Why do people want to fucking eat Spunk cookies? Spunkmeyer doesn't make me want to eat your cookies, buddy.
Oh, this Spunkmeyer curb.
Mm-hmm.
That made no sense whatsoever.
I know. You can go to the Subway and get them, too.
Eat fresh.
I will.
All right, let's get out of here.
Rock on.
We'll see you guys on Wednesday.
Cheers, folks.
Yep, later.